This is Booth 46, live from Petorino's. Not just in the heart of the Loop, but the heart of the Loop. Surrounded by theater, culture, and Chicago's movers and shakers. Each episode brings you, as Irv Kupcinet used to say,
the lively art of conversation.
Local vibes, real conversations, and fresh ideas for experiencing the city. So pull up a chair, lean in, and let's dive into the stories that shape Chicago.
Well, I've done lots of podcasts, done lots of radio shows, but this is going to be a first. Drunk Shakespeare is right here at Petorino's.
We are. Happy to be here.
Booth 46, we are talking to Mo Riley. We are talking to Benjamin Jenkins. Welcome, guys.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, I was going to take a stab at this, but you know what? I probably failed. So one of you two try to explain what Drunk Shakespeare, and currently it's Macbeth in Chicago, but these things are rotated, and it's in cities all over the country. Mm-hmm. So I will, Mo, you're on the spot.
Oh,
sure.
If you can explain what this is. So you're walking down the street, or better yet, you're in an elevator.
Right, right.
And in that elevator, because you have conversations like this every day, I'm sure, in the elevator.
Sure.
And someone says, hey, what do you do? And you say, well, I'm in Drunk Shakespeare. And someone says, what's that? What do you say?
I'm a part of a society of huge Shakespeare nerds who get together every night. We have a meeting where we put on one of our favorite Shakespeare shows. Right now it's Macbeth, as you said, or sometimes one of our other favorite like literary icon shows, where we get kind of silly with it, and one actor gets drunk every night. So one actor does about four shots up at the top of the
and
top of the show.
And you're not kidding about that.
No. We do four shots right up top. One of them goes out to someone in the audience to prove that we're drinking real liquor, and then the craziness begins. We get started with the meeting, and we try to make it through a Shakespeare show without taking it too far off the rails, but I don't know how often we succeed with that.
So the night that I was there, we have to be careful what we say.
Right.
But the night that I was there, this man was about, I'm guessing, 80 years old. Mm. And he became, you know what I'm talking about, do you recall? And he became a part of the show as well, as did a part of his suggested anatomy. But he had so much fun with it.
He did.
And so did, I think his family was with him.
Yeah.
And they were loving it. But he was really into it as well.
Yeah, I think there's a great opportunity at this show for folks who want to lean in, to really lean in. We're in a tight little alley-style theater.
Talk about the theater itself.
Yeah.
It's very intimate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if the show starts late, Benjamin, I think you could read. There's an audience, but what do you have, 100 books there? Are they real books?
They're real books.
They're not props.
They're not props.
Are they real Shakespeare books?
One person took all the covers off those books and color coordinated them.
What are the books really like? Is like How to Train Your Puppy in 6 Weeks. I mean, what are the books really
There's
about?
There's some weird ones in there.
Yeah, mostly arbitrary. They're just random books, but
There's
really
one
cool.
That's got sleep positions that has one called The Sly Cops, which is like where you have your arm over one of your eyes while you're sleeping, full splayed out. Mm-hmm. It's interesting stuff. Like a sort of vintage book, but then we've also got, I think all of the Twilight books are somewhere in our library.
Yeah.
Well, of course you would. Yeah. Do you have any Shakespeare there?
Oh, certainly. I think,
maybe not.
Certain books that we pull off the shelf, but the big like Riverside collections and the Folgers collections, are huge collections that I think we leave on the side near the SM booth.
We
all the Shakespeare comes from us and from our love of it and from our memory. We're whipping out as much as we can remember on a drunk night.
All right, so I want to talk about that in a bit, but first I want to talk about you guys. So Mo, you're first. What's your? Aren't you lucky I chose her first?
Yeah,
there you go.
What drink?
You get to sip on your wine.
Yeah,
what are you drinking, by the way?
I think it's the house cab. It's very good.
It is very good. And you?
A little Diet Coke with lime, because I'm in the show tonight, baby, and we're sober. So.
But I thought the people in the show get drunk.
Only one of us every night. So I'm not getting too crazy with it tonight.
Who decides? And this drink. You know, I need something to describe. It is amazing. If you have you guys ever had a Pisco Sour? You know, with the egg whites on top, and it's all whipped in. This is the same idea with bourbon. I think I'm describing that correctly.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, he says the man, Devin says yes, I've got it.
Why not? We just make it up as we go along.
No. You've got the best bartender.
Put a name on it. It's all improv.
Do I get my name on it?
You know we could.
That's what I'm looking for.
You want to audition for John Shakespeare?
He says it will cost extra. All right.
Yeah. Anyway.
Thank you. So, and I will enjoy. So, getting back to you.
Yeah.
You were saying.
Just sort of about me. I'm a newer to Chicago. I'm coming
up
on
2 years.
You have
an improv background?
Yeah, I used to be a part of a. I used to teach improv.
Teach?
I did improv
really?
All throughout
Where?
High school. I taught it. Mostly in my hometown growing up, and then a little bit in undergrad, I started my own improv group at my undergrad where we just met up and got kind of nerdy. We did very few performances. It was very drunk Shakespeare adjacent, actually, but without a paying audience. So we were just getting nerdy about improv most nights and meeting up. And
Benjamin, I'm going to ask you the same question, but I'm asking because Chicago is the home of improv.
Right.
Yeah.
And in fact, the woman who created... There's two people who actually started all this in Chicago. Sharna Halperin and Del Close. How did I pull those names out of my head? I don't. Well, Sharna still lives in the Chicago area.
Right.
She is wonderful. And if you look at the careers that this woman, this one woman with Del, to some extent, began, it is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Think of half the Saturday Night Live performers that you have seen in the past 20 years.
For sure.
Each and every one. I mean, really.
Yeah.
You know, from Amy Poehler to Tina Fey, going back in time.
Well, then they all made it forward.
Yeah, they began here.
UCB and, yeah.
So do you find that Chicago audiences might get it, Benjamin?
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
Maybe more than some others?
Yeah, this is a town of comedy, so they definitely get it more than others.
And the town of Shakespeare. Improv.
And, yeah, specifically improv. I have a slight improv background as well, just working with different shows, comedy shows, at Impact Theater. Shout out to Impact Theater, where I worked with them before. We've done a lot of fun, engaging comedies with a lot of improv involved. And, you know, it's so funny that you mentioned SNL because I consider myself the Kenan Thompson of the Drunk Shakespeare since I've been here. I've done almost 800 shows of Drunk Shakespeare. So I am a seasoned vet. Yes. So, with that, I think the Chicago audience is for sure get it more so than any other audiences, any other audiences out there, for sure.
What about Shakespeare? So do you actually have a background in, you could tell me when I say, to be or not to be.
Oh,
well, that is from...
Hamlet, there you go. I considered myself for a very long time a Shakespearean actor. And in undergrad, in fact, like the reason that I was starting the improv group in undergrad was because I was doing so much straight acting and so much Shakespearean acting in my classes and in my training. I was very much geared more towards that. And growing up, I used to work with San Francisco Shakespeare Festival, and was a real big Shakespeare nerd growing up. My mom read me Shakespeare in the womb when I was before I was born. Yeah.
So, okay, do you think that there is something to that? They say that if mom or dad sang to you, you might grow up being, if not a professional singer, someone who sings.
Yeah, I'm not the best judge of that, just because my mom's mom is an actor and a singer and a creative. My dad's mom was a painter and creative, and then my mom herself was also an actor. So, yes, but also I grew up literally sleeping in theaters because my mom was stage managing things and stuff like that.
Where at?
Mostly in the Bay Area. We did a lot of she worked residently with San Francisco Shakespeare Festival for a while, and she's done a lot of her own stuff before that. She's still in the Bay Area with CYT right now, but anyway, just to say I was steeped in it from a young age, so I think it bleeds through. I think
Benjamin?
A lot of us are that way.
I can consider myself a Shakespearean actor. I do. I think so. And
why is that?
Well, I've done some shows at Chicago Shakes as an understudy.
Yeah.
I've done a lot undergrad at the Florida State University. Shout out to Florida State. anyone who is a graduate. And it just kind of came to me. I think maybe it's the voice or whatnot, but I wasn't looking to become a Shakespearean actor. It kind of just...
Did you say voice?
Yeah, because I think I have a pretty rich voice when it comes to that.
You do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Yes, thank you.
Are you a voice actor?
I am not currently a voice actor.
You could be.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Really, from a guy who lives and breathes stuff like that.
Well, that is the highest compliment. Well, thank you
much, Steve. So, when are we going to hear you and see you in commercials?
Well, I do commercials. I have been in a few commercials
I knew
recently.
That,
yeah, well, yeah, okay, yeah. But as far as voiceover concern,
what commercials have you done?
I've done a Dairy Queen commercial.
What
I've
do
done
you
an
do?
Upward commercial. Usually I play the aloof father. I'm not a father currently.
I just saw you in a CLR commercial on Instagram as like a flirty husband. And
pretty much.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
said you are
in a dirty window.
Yeah. You said you aren't a husband currently.
I am, but I am not a father currently.
Oh,
no.
Not
yes,
a father
yes,
currently.
Yes, yes, okay. yes, yes, yes.
So you previously were a father.
No.
Currently,
not at
so
all. Let me. Not a father at all.
Okay.
No children as of yet
that we know of.
That we know of, yes.
Yeah, you're going to... I'm determined to get you in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we have in front of us, you have to taste, this most amazing peppermint ice cream. While I do that, I need to ask you, Mo, about something about this. Doing wickedness is like a sport to a fool, and so is wisdom to a man... of understanding. Do you recognize that?
Oh gosh, what's that from?
Your Instagram page.
Oh, that is straight up from one of my old Instagram pages. What Shakespeare is that from? That's
Is that
fool.
From Shakespeare?
Yeah.
Oh darn it. I thought so this girl is really smart. I thought it was you.
You thought, hey, and I used to be. Yeah, I think that was for a clown makeup thing that I did, right?
Yeah.
You did a deep dive.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a fool from maybe Lear. I don't know.
I think it sounds like Lear to me.
What is your favorite Shakespeare show?
It's a controversial one. I love Taming of the Shrew.
Why is that controversial?
I don't think it's taken out of context. I think it's taken in a off the page. It seems quite misogynistic. We see a fierce woman at the beginning of that show who can't be tamed, and then someone has to come in. A man comes in and tames her, and then by the end she's extremely subservient, and that's sort of how it can be picked up off the page, but. There's this wonderful documentary called Kiss Me, Petruchio, which you can find on YouTube, that has Meryl Streep and Raul Julia doing it for New York's Shakespeare in the Park. And they do a really lovely take on it where it's just really focused about, like, how to, I guess, for lack of a better term, like, match each other's freak. And how to, like, pull the best parts out of the people that you love to see how you might put up walls in front of yourself for me, but I can see that's not the best thing for you. I'm going to tear some of those down, and I'm going to wedge myself in there. I'm going to bring out some tenderness in you, or vice versa, you know?
So I think that's a huge talent to be able to pick a play, it doesn't matter what Shakespeare play, and make it relevant to first understand it. There's some...
Well, yes.
Really, sometimes that's not so easy. You have to watch it a few times or read it a few times, at least if you're me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The other thing is also to make it relevant to yourself and to today. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a very awesome quality to have, to be able to make any of the Shakespeare relevant to today. One of the things I try to go into when we're doing Drunk Shakespeare is to make sure that people understand exactly what I'm saying and make the Shakespeare as relatable as possible.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I want people to understand exactly everything that I'm saying, why I'm saying it, what my intentions are, and what my goals are. So people, you know, that's the whole thing. I think what's lovely about Drunk Shakespeare is that it can be grounded in a way that people can appreciate Shakespeare while we're telling, you know, phallic and, you know, other jokes. I'm trying to keep it clean as possible. And
you're
fart jokes, you know what I mean?
You're okay. You're okay.
Yeah,
okay. Well, so that's another thing. So people think high drama when they think of Shakespeare, and they should.
Yeah.
He did a lot of stuff. It was actually quite funny that I think kind of holds up incredibly so. What do you guys think?
It's all for the groundlings, you know? It's all for, like, as much as Shakespeare was writing his plays for, Elizabeth, I think specifically. He was writing for the people, and every single one of his productions was riffed on. You know, every night he had very loose, I think, ideas of how the Shakespeare wanted to actually go, or how the play wanted to actually go, but it changed every night based on what the vibes of the audience were. And I think in that same vein, what we're doing feels
that
very true
what you
to
do,
the original.
Yeah. You go a little further, I think. Than
yeah.
Might have happened this time. But nevertheless, yeah, that is true. What is your favorite Shakespeare?
Okay, I want to say it really legitimately is Macbeth. However, I'm not going to cop out. I'm going to say King Lear is probably my favorite Shakespeare. I think it's a lot of strong women in that. I think it's also really... I love Edmund. I love one of his speeches. It's one of the speeches that I use in one of the shows. I think it's a very powerful drama, and I think it's very sad, and it's also a tragedy, but it says so much about the human condition, and I really, really do love King Lear. I think it's
What does he say about the human condition?
I think with a father just kind of doing his own thing and like not really taking into account for any of his daughters and understanding what it's like, also just kind of being misogynist himself and not understanding how these things connect and how, you know, you can uplift these things and how you just miss your others, you know, your children, how you don't really listen to them, how you don't really respect them in certain aspects.
And you're talking about your own children.
No, Steve. No children that I'm aware of. Let's keep it.
I keep doing that, don't
yeah,
I?
Yeah, it's very funny. Yeah. But I really do and love King Lear. Also, Sir Ian McKellen's King Lear on YouTube right now. Fantastic. I love it. Yeah.
We need to talk about the restaurant, and I will do that right now. We're talking about where we're from, and that's Pettorino's Restaurant. And my gosh, do you guys love Italian food?
Yeah.
Well, it's almost who doesn't. There's a recent survey about the favorite cuisine in America. If you were around and you guys weren't in 1975, the answer would have been Chinese food. Apparently.
Huh.
But today it is Italian food.
Oh, yeah.
So here are some examples of items that this restaurant does, particularly in my view, which is a view I respect, rather well. And that includes short rib pappardelle. Their short ribs are amazing. Mm-hmm. Their gnocchi is made here. As a matter of fact, all their pasta is made here. If you say, I'm not in the mood for pasta... Chicken Limone is another example. There are so many choices, aside from the peppermint ice cream, also made here. And by the way, you guys clearly know Shakespeare. Even more clearly, our expert when it comes to peppermint ice cream. What do you think?
I'm a big textural fan in ice cream, and the little like shavings on top are amazing. That's like little
real
crunch
pieces
of, like,
of peppermint. Yeah,
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 real pieces of peppermint on top, and then the actual ice cream, creamy, delicious.
Benjamin,
I'm here for it.
I would absolutely agree with everything Mo said. I love the texture. I love the creaminess of the ice cream as well.
It's a danger that you showed us this, and we're like a block away from our theater that we're at every night. I'm gonna be coming back.
You are right down the street.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give your address in a minute. The address at Pettorino's Restaurants, 150 North Dearborn Street, in the heart of the Loop, in the heart of the theater district, and a restaurant, I will say, with great heart. One thing among many that I love, and this is sincere, I'm not reading anything here. You walk in the door, and you are greeted in a way that restaurants did, like, again, before your time, like 20 years ago. They know your name, which is amazing because you don't even know your own name, at least after seeing Drunk Shakespeare, which you can enjoy some libation if you are so inclined. I'm talking about the audience, not the performers.
Yes.
However, being so much improv, you guys must have a story or two, a clean one, about wacky things that may have happened with audience members. Anything come to mind? You're shaking your head. Yes, Mo.
What are you thinking?
It's really fun, like we said before, to have folks come into the show and want to lean in. We've had quite a few now, I think, Specifically, like, high school English teachers come into the show, and they talk beforehand, and they're like, we're here for it, we love it, we're so excited to see what you guys have. And then,
do they correct you if you get the Shakespeare wrong?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm getting at. I now a couple times have been halfway through Out Damn Spot and hear someone saying it along with me. And we've had Skyler Sprague had a really awesome show the other night where he, for Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow, Macbeth's big, you know, speech at the end of the show, started saying it and heard someone doing that with him. So he went word for word, band for band, on Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow, and they passed it off and did the whole monologue together. So it was so much fun. They like stood up and did it together and did a big bow and got a standing ovation from the audience. It was like, okay, yeah, like if you come and you're prepared and you're ready to lean in and be a bit of a nerd with us, you will be rewarded.
Now the other thing about the show, I don't need to know your ages, but you could tell me.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm 34 years old.
28.
All right. The audience members skew younger. The cool thing, although you get everyone, but the cool thing about that, or interesting thing, you wouldn't think so, that Shakespeare would be a draw to people that are in their late 20s or early, or zillennials.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that part of what's cool about the show?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you're a theater kid from the moment that you're a kid to the moment that, you know, you die. Like, it's, I think we get all ages into the show, and...
you do.
We have a lot of folks leaning in. I mean, we had someone come last night who saw me in a TikTok, and they were like, I came because we saw you in a TikTok, and we're from Oklahoma, and we drove up for it. So
what?
Like, wow, okay, awesome. The power of social media can really, like...
What?
Get people out, and it was...
You do know we're in Chicago.
No, I know.
And
no,
did they know?
Yeah, I know.
They
I
drove
know.
All the way from Oklahoma.
And it was her partner's, it was her birthday, and it was her partner's first time seeing a play ever. So
what?
We get that a lot where there's, you know, tourists from out of town or folks who have lived in Chicago for a while. They've never made it out, but they've seen our Instagram ads or whatever. And they come out and they get an awareness of like, okay, theater can be cool. Theater can, like, you know.
Or they hear this on the radio.
Yeah.
Or in a podcast,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, now,
okay.
It is the time.
Oh, my.
All right,
oh my
is that
God.
From Shakespeare?
It could be.
I'm sure it is.
Now it is.
Yeah. All right. We'll put it in tonight for you. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Add it in.
Yeah.
All right, time to ask these questions I ask everyone.
All right.
What's the best job that you have ever had, Mo?
I'm not joking when I say this is probably the best job that I've ever had. I'm
Have you had other jobs?
I have had other
yes,
jobs.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get to that in a second. But yeah. No, I mean this is the dream. I'm working as a full-time actor in Chicago. I'm doing silly improv. I get to make people laugh every night. Even on, you know, even on like a day where I'm not feeling up to my best, I still get to come into this beautiful theater every night and make people happy and just lean into some Shakespeare and get a little bit silly with some of my favorite people. So
one of the hardest things to do as a performer is if you're not feeling well, then bring it. You know, it's tough. We're all human. When you're doing comedy, though, is there a healing power, if you will, to doing it if you follow what I'm asking?
I think so, yeah. There's, like, definitely a salve to getting to come and perform anything. This show especially, because I just, there's so much joy at the heart of it. We're here for the love of Shakespeare, and we're here for the love of, like, the people in the room that night. Of, like, I want you to come and have an amazing time and feel like we spoke to you and feel like you understood Shakespeare in a way that you've never understood it before.
But what if you don't know anything about Shakespeare? You've never even heard who William Shakespeare is. Have you had people in the audience like that?
Absolutely, we have. And our job is to make it as accessible as possible. And we try our best, and I think we succeed a great deal. Some people who have never seen Shakespeare, read a play, sometimes will come up to us and be like, you made that so accessible and so casual that we really appreciate it, because now I can kind of understand and follow along with what's happening.
I can see that.
Yeah.
The favorite job you ever had, Benjamin?
I'm going to have to take Mo's answer again and say this one. I'm so serious. It's one of my favorite jobs I've ever had. I've been working here for a long time. I've done over 800 shows, and that's for a reason. It's because I love the people I work with. I love making Shakespeare accessible. It's one of my big things, making theater accessible, period.
Yeah.
And I enjoy every aspect of it. It is one of the best jobs, and I have had other jobs.
And look where you are.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in the heart of the theater district in Chicago.
Absolutely.
And you fill a house up. In fact, some nights you have like 14 shows a day or whatever it is.
Yeah. Tomorrow I got 4 shows. Yeah.
It's amazing. Wow. Yeah. That's tough. All right. The worst job, Mo, you've ever had.
Oof.
And you have had other jobs.
I have had other jobs. Yeah. I loved it while I was doing it, but looking back on it, I was a lifeguard at my local pool, and we had a kid that came in every day for about a week. Came in, would stand in the shallow or the deep end where he couldn't sort of like couldn't get his head all the way out of the water. Would kind of like swallow water for a while, and then would puke it all up every single day for a week. And we couldn't tell that kid to go home. We were his babysitters for that time. We were like, we know him. He's, you know, his parents are good people. You just kind of let it slide. So, yeah, being a high school lifeguard and like, you know, doing a full like day of high school and then going to a pool where a kid is coming to be my problem for the day was kind of a tough job, but it taught me a lot.
I was a lifeguard once.
Yeah.
At a car wash.
Okay.
But I'm bummed. All right. A joke older than both of you are together.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, Ben, but you laughed. That's all that matters.
It's a good joke. It's a good joke.
Pity laugh, but a laugh. Benjamin,
yes.
Worst job you ever had?
All right. I was a sandwich artist at Uncle Sammy's. Uncle Sammy's is
a
no
longer. Sandwich long-
artist? That's what they called us. At Uncle Sammy's, it no longer exists. I believe it was off of, it was near the DePaul location off of the Fullerton stop. It doesn't exist anymore, so I can talk as much trash about it as I possibly can. But it wasn't fulfilling for me making those sandwiches. I would take a lot of them home because it was incentivized, of course. But, yeah, you know, you make 500 tuna sandwiches, you know, a day. You're just kind of like, you're a little over it. But, you know.
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
500 tuna sandwiches is a little worse than 500 Shakespearean shows.
Yeah, just a tad.
So... Do you ever order tuna sandwiches today?
No, I have PTSD from
I would imagine.
Yeah, I can't even think. Can't smell it.
What makes you the happiest, Mo?
I think right now what's making me the happiest is spending some time in my sketchbook every day. I'm also a visual artist, and like I said, my grandmother growing up, one of them was a painter, and so just getting to like get lost in creativity.
What kind of painting?
Right now I'm doing...
Like a painting of 4 people, the engineer too, in a booth, in a restaurant.
I certainly could.
I'm thinking that
we'll get
would
working
be
on that right on my way over to the theater tonight. Yeah.
I would hope so. What makes you the happiest?
Just meditating, being mindful, that kind of stuff. I really am into it, especially recently. Just making sure that I am grounded. Just smelling the air, the oxygen. I know this is a very crunchy answer, but it's the truth.
It's okay.
I really do enjoy meditation. Music meditation is what I really enjoy. Listening to different instrumentations, how a song is created. That's one of the things I love.
What kind of music?
Any type of music. Right now I'm listening to a lot of funk and disco.
Disco to meditate by.
Yeah.
So you're meditating by Donna Summer.
You're absolutely right. Yeah,
sounds lovely to me. Yeah.
It's a good. It's you know. It sounds a bit insane, but it really helps. Disco, funk, the Parliament. Parliament can't beat a Flashlight. You know what I mean?
And
jazz, of course. You know, we can definitely meditate to some Miles Davis and some John Coltrane.
Marvis Staples, you meditate by?
Yeah. Miles Davis, John Coltrane. I mean, those are the greats. Yeah, again.
I've had the honor to interview her. She's amazing.
Did you really? That's awesome.
Yeah,
at some point.
So Donna Summer.
Yeah.
And yeah. Well, The Last Dance should be for you.
No, I think.
All right. Now, what is the best thing for you about Chicago, Mo?
For for me, it's a marriage of all of the things that make me feel, like Ben was saying, the most grounded. It's the theater scene and the proximity to water. Oh my gosh, the Chicago summer's here.
You do like water.
I do, yeah. I used to be that.
Okay. So when you go through your Instagram page, you see something, something, and then you see you're underwater. Then something, something, and then you're in the water. Something, something, and then you're next to the water.
Yeah.
You like water.
Water, baby. Hey, Scorpio.
So are you going to live ever in Kansas? Where there is no water.
I did my undergrad in Utah, and I love to visit. I'll say that. I love to visit, but the desert was hard.
The Salt Lake doesn't count.
No. Oh, no, no. But it is fun. Everyone should try at some point in their life going and floating on the salt in the Salt Lake.
You really do float?
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy. Yeah.
Cholesterol
and you can walk really
up?
Far out. Pretty much, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
For you, Benjamin.
Oh, remind me of the question one more time.
Best thing about Chicago.
Best thing about Chicago, okay. The summertime. Summertime, the festivals, the jazz festival, the blues festivals. You know, that's my thing. I absolutely love a Chicago summer. I love a Chicago spring and fall and winter as well because it just makes you appreciate the summer just a little bit more.
Well put.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Again, it is, if you happen to be in Chicago, because you can see this all over the country, Drunk Shakespeare in Chicago at 182 North Wabash. Right now it's Drunk Macbeth, but those shows rotate, right? Mm-hmm. Different Shakespearean shows. It's at the Lion Theater. That's the name of the theater. I think it was originally, this is just my memory, I could be wrong, and I often am, it was up in Lincoln Park, I believe, at one point in time, the Lion Theater. You could ask.
I'm going back a long time ago.
But maybe. I don't know. But I do know this. Yeah. You are downtown, 182 North Wabash Street, and you can go to the website for Drunk Shakespeare if you happen to be visiting New York and other cities as well, correct?
Yeah, yeah. We've got Phoenix. There's
Houston, D.C.
What else?
Houston, D.C.
I thought you said Quincy.
Yeah.
Like Quincy, Illinois.
No, not Quincy, Illinois.
And Quincy, Illinois.
Yeah. Of course.
How you caught us. We're opening up a small storefront theater out there.
You should. Yeah. I think so. You guys are terrific. Mo Riley, Benjamin Jenkins.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that is the question.
Yes, there it is.
Is that from Shakespeare?
Yeah.
That is.
Oh, yeah.
From what?
Hamlet, man.
Hamlet again. Hamlet again.
There you go.
That's a wrap from Booth 46 at Pederino's, where the loop comes to life. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, keep the conversation going and keep exploring Chicago.